Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
Surely you know by now, Jeff Calkins is your award-winning columnist, daily Memphian, and host of the Jeff Calkins Show. That's weekdays 9 from 11. You listen to him this morning. You listen to him tomorrow morning. Right now, he's right here. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, GP, and you?
I'm just trying to get through another day, keep my head above water. And I was in studio last night here in New York City, obviously mostly focused on college basketball. But as always, I'm keeping my eye on the Grizz, if only because I know I'm going to have to talk about them every day. And B, I'm in a group chat with some Grizz employees and Grizz fans. And so even if I don't want to keep an eye on it, it's just like it's hitting my phone every 7 minutes. And so they're down 16 points in the first quarter. And I say, hey, what are you going to do? The pick's not going to get conveyed. This is sort of where we're at as a franchise. And next thing I know, Mike Conley scored 19 points in the final 8 minutes, finishing with a career-high 40. Grizzlies beat the Blazers, and now I'm back on this. I don't know, maybe that pick could get conveyed. It was a fun night inside FedEx Forum, right?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, first of all, is that before you focus on the pick conveying or not conveying, you just acknowledge that it actually has been sort of interesting since the trade deadline. It all, in some larger picture, feels a little dismal right now, right? Not only are you not making the playoffs, but the three most significant young pieces that you have going forward are injured and not playing, and Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, and Jaren Jackson Jr. So, that's not good. But considering that that's the case, they've actually had some memorable, fun games. The one against the Lakers certainly was memorable and entertaining, and where they beat LeBron, and this one last night out of the blue on a Tuesday night against Portland when you're down 16, all of a sudden you see Mike Conley, who loves to kill Portland, which broke his face once upon a time, scores a career-high 40 points, and it's just like the people who were there had a blast. And so because I think that the convey thing is so murky, it's a little hard to know exactly what to root for, given where they are, et cetera. I think, first of all, you just celebrate the moment, and I think it's kind of nice, because it's not obvious what the heck they should be doing anyway, that you can do that. You can just celebrate the moment, and then in particular, you celebrate it for Mike, who's been, obviously, is the quintessential professional, classy guy, and wound up going through whatever he went through at the trade deadline, which, listen, I'd go through it for $140 million too, but doesn't mean you like it. And then he comes and has a game like that and was clearly having a great time, and people were having a great time watching him. And so first, I think you just celebrate the moment. And then beyond that, to me, if you are looking at the conveyance stuff, it's an interesting question. Like, I think they're going to have a hard time getting to ninth from the bottom. In fact, they're not going to get tonight from the bottom. I find it very far-fetched that they would. So,
well, let me give you the details on that now. Yeah, they're four games. You know, I have a file of inverse standings that I update every day just so I could look at it the way I need to look at it. And right at the top is the New York Knicks with a 13-51 record, followed by the Suns, Cavs, Bulls, Hawks, Grizz at 6, Wizards 7, Mavericks 8, Pelicans, Magic tied at 9 with a record of 30-36. In other words, if you're trying to race to ninth best lottery odds, you're four games back with, I believe, 16 games left, and that's just a difficult gap to make up.
Exactly. So, and what you wanted to get to was, because I mean, what I think most people want to get to is ninth, because then either thing that happens is good. You eliminate a bad thing happening. But either two things that would happen were either, oh, look, we're ninth, but we jumped up in the top four, so we get to keep the pick, or you stay at ninth or get bumped down to 10th, in which case you convey the pick. But in no circumstances are you stuck with the 8th pick, and then you're going to have to, in 2 years, give up the first pick. So that's where the ideal would be to get to 9th, okay? So then I think you're in a little murkier area. And then you say, all right, well, is the next best thing to get to 8th, which I think is 8th from the bottom. This is all from the bottom, of course. 8th from the bottom, because then, and I think that's possible, because there you are, you can catch the Wizards, or what, you're half game behind the Wizards, and a game behind Dallas or something like that, right?
Game in the win column, you're tied with the Wizards in the win column, one game behind the Mavericks in the win column, and you've got two more games with the Mavericks, so getting to 9th.
But the Wizards have played a lot fewer games, I think three fewer games maybe.
Right.
But you can do that.
Getting to 9th seems difficult, getting to 8th seems very realistic.
Feel very, very realistic. So then I think it's a question. The great thing is that what you want to root for has no bearing on what actually happens. But here is the question. Do you want to root to get to 8th? And if you get to 8th, here's what you're doing. You're saying two of the three things that could happen are good. One is I could jump into the top 4. Woohoo! Two is I could, someone from behind could jump up into the top 4 and I slide down to 9. Like that, and then I convey the pick. But the bad thing that could happen is the worst of all, which is that you end up literally at the last pick that you keep, which is staying at 8. And so you would go into a lottery night when you have three things that can happen: two good, one bad. Okay, and so maybe that's what you want to do. The other way to look at this is to say, Gary, and this is just what you're rooting for, is, you know what, this is all great. I really think this franchise needs a bolt of lightning. And for me, that bolt of lightning is Zion. And so I'd rather stay at 6th or 5th and have a better chance of getting a 10% chance instead of a 6% chance of getting a transformative player for this franchise. So I'm actually kind of torn. Like, I still think I want him to get to 8th, where two of the three things that could happen are good, and I don't want him to have a pick in 2 years. But I can actually see the people who say, no. The best way out for this franchise, it's still a long shot, but the best way out for this franchise is to have a 10% chance at Zion, because then you have a 10% chance of being absolutely compelling next year, and that's better than any other chance they have to be compelling.
So right now they're 6th from the bottom, which gives them a 9% chance to get the first pick, which would be Zion Williamson, and only gives them about a 4% chance to actually convey the pick. If they go to 8th from the bottom, we're down to 6% to get the number one pick, about 40% to convey the pick, and about 35% to pick 8th. And to me, the picking 8th is the worst thing imaginable.
Clearly, it is the worst. Yeah. There's no question that picking 8th is the worst imaginable.
And so
what do you want? Do you want to stay at 5th or do you want to get to 8th?
I don't know. I mean, I could argue it either way, because here's the truth. I think the best thing for the franchise long term is just to convey the pick this year and be done with it.
The best thing is to get Zion.
Well, the best thing is to get Zion, clearly, but it's also like highly unlikely.
But here's the question: is going from 6th right now? You're at 9% chance of Zion. Is going from 9% chance of Zion to 6% chance of Zion, which is what you'd do if you went from where you are now at 6th to 8th, right? If you go from 9 to 6th, is that, I think that's a pretty small sacrifice to make. You're a long shot either way. You're winging a prayer. You're counting on a prayer either way. And this way, by dropping to 8th, you greatly enhance your chances of conveying the pick. I still think that's what I'm rooting for.
I think that's right. But the issue here is that I do think the best long-term thing is just, you know, get to 8th, gives you a 40% chance to convey the pick. You still got us. Like, if you get to 8th, your chance of conveying the pick go up drastically, but your chances of getting Zion only decrease a little bit.
Right.
And so I do think that's
6, right.
Yeah, it goes from 9 to 6. And, you know, your chances of getting Zion go from 9% to 6%. Your chances of conveying the pick go from 4% to 40%. So it's like, I do think that's the right thing. But also not pick, like, here's the issue. Conveying the pick is the best thing that could happen for the franchise other than getting lucky and getting Zion. It's also the most boring thing. Like, you know, just finding out that, okay, we just had the lottery.
So awful.
It's
the worst thing ever. The worst thing ever. We are rooting for not having a first round draft pick this
right.
year. And if let's just stipulate that the world is going to be destroyed by North Korea in a year from now, right?
Okay.
Or maybe a meteorite or something, right? You'll have wished that we would have had a draft pick this summer to talk about. Like, if the world ends a year from now, it won't do us any good to have conveyed the pick. And we like what? Okay, so here we go. Woohoo! They go to eight. They're eight on draft night. They slip to ninth, right? And we have a big, huge draft party because, like, nothing's going to happen this summer. You're
right.
Just going to have the same, literally the same. It is the most boring thing in the world to root for. Like, it's awful. Like, and that's the position they put themselves in, where the best thing that can happen is that this pretty damn bad team is going to have a summer in which they aren't going to have a lottery pick because they have to give it up, and which they trade Mike Conley.
It's
and
like
then they sell that next year.
I mean, there's so many ways to compare this to real life stuff, but it's a little bit like you've been thinking, you know, all winter about this summer vacation. You're going to go on this summer vacation. You're really looking forward to it. And then somebody sits you down and says, listen, you can have that summer vacation, but it's going to cost you a summer vacation 2 years from now. And the summer vacation 2 years now would be like three times as good as this summer vacation. So if you're smart, just like skip the summer vacation this summer and like, boy, are you going to have an amazing summer vacation 3 years from now. And you're like, I don't know. I just kind of want to go somewhere now. You know? Like, I just want to go now. I think that's what conveying the pick is. It's like putting off your summer vacation. And you know it's the smart thing to do.
Like, let me see if I can play it. It's more like, you need a new roof on your house.
Yeah.
Okay. You need a new roof on your house, and in 2 years to put the roof on your house is going to cost you a huge amount of money. But if you put the roof on your house this summer, you're not going to have enough money for the summer vacation that you want to go on. It's cheaper to put the roof on your house this summer before more damage is done, but then you can't go on the summer vacation, and you say, "Ah, oh, God damn it! Excuse, I'm just gonna." I'm gonna put the roof on this summer, get it over with, not go on vacation, and save up my money, and then I'll go on vacation in 2 years because I need the sooner or later I need the roof on my house. Like this rain is about to come pouring in my house. I got to do this, and I'd rather just put it off and maybe, you know, in 2 years. But there's a danger that the house could like blow away in 2 years, so I just got to go ahead and put the roof on my house this year.
Jokes on you, Calkins. What I would do is call Danny Morrison, roofing professionals.
Yeah.
They can get you a roof at no out-of-pocket cost to you. No out-of-pocket cost.
Under Calkins' rules, the world's going to blow up anyway by next year. So, like, hey, spend the money.
I can get you a roof no out-of-pocket cost.
That's fantastic. You should
nice.
Get him in touch with the Grizzlies and see what he can figure out with the Celtics. Maybe he can figure out something with the Celtics. Because
maybe
out-of-pocket. It is the out-of-pocket that they have to pay to the Celtics is going to be the problem.
If only
put Danny Morrison in touch with Danny Ainge, see what he can work out.
If only Danny Morrison could convey a pick to the Celtics with no out-of-pocket calls to the Grizzlies.
Oh, that'd be great.
So good. That would be
Jeez.
So good. Yeah. Jeez. No, that's the problem. There's nothing, you know, I don't know. You can compare it to a whole lot of stuff. Like, it's getting like colonoscopy. You know, like, it's just no fun. There's nothing fun about this. It's
right.
getting like, yeah, let's.
So that's the thing. Like last night I'm on Twitter and I'm watching people, you know, tweet about that convey in the pick, and they've changed Mike Conley's name to Mike Convey. Convey,
right.
and it's just like I'm totally on board with it, except it's boring. Like I know it's wildly less good, which I suppose is a weird way of saying bad. You know, to pick eighth or to pick sixth than it is to just move the pick and then have that off your books. But like, I don't think about going.
Putting the money in your 401k instead
yes.
of buying a big screen TV.
That's exactly
you know?
Right. Right. You know, it's been good for
I
you.
I kind of like to have a big screen TV. It would look good, and I'd have it for 2 years. It'd be fun. This is crappy watching the small screen. I'm just going to go ahead and screw my 401k. Let the future take care of itself and get the big screen TV.
Right. Like, hey, you realize if you take this money out of your 401k now, you're going to pay a penalty. But if you keep it in there for a few more years, then there's no penalty. And you're like, I don't know. I just kind of want the money now.
Right. Yeah, I might be eating cat food. I'll worry about eating cat food when it comes time to eat cat food. Right now, I'm going to have a big-ass TV.
Right. It's a struggle. It's such an American struggle.
Americans want instant. That's exactly right. They want instant gratification. So now I don't know if instant gratification is available in this draft. But there you go. Like, it's not a. Let's be honest. The problem is it's not a big screen TV. What you're getting is you're getting a raffle ticket to have a the biggest screen team in the world, which is Zion Williamson. But you might end up with a just a kind of an okay TV.
Yeah, you might just end up with like a Jarrett Culver.
Exactly. like that's pretty boring too, really. That's the problem.
And yeah, I mean, can you imagine paying a penalty to get money out of your 401k to buy Jarrett Culver?
To go buy a Jarrett Culver. That's terrible. That's terrible.
That's awful.
You blow your retirement for him. Yeah, no, yeah. That's a disaster.
You telling me I just blew my retirement for Rui Hachimura? What have we done? Can you imagine having to sit down and tell your wife you've just blown your whole retirement?
Oh, God.
You get? I took the money out of a 401k. What'd you get?
Well, sweetheart, I got Jackson Hayes. I spent our retirement on Jackson Hayes. She's like, who the hell is Jackson Hayes? I thought you told me we were gonna spend our retirement on Zion. You went shopping for Zion and came home with Jackson Hayes.
It's a problem.
That's a good way to get divorced.
Difficult situation, yeah.
That's a good way to get divorced. Tell your wife, okay. Listen, I know this ain't smart. We're gonna get our 401k money. We'll pay a penalty.
Take it all out.
But I think I can buy Zion Williamson with it, and then you come home with Romeo Langford. hey baby, look what I got with our retirement. Romeo Langford can't shoot.
Who is
this
guy?
Guard who can't shoot.
Who is this guy?
You spent our retirement on a guard who can't shoot? It's awful.
Well, that's the problem. So that's why you have to just focus on it. It's so confusing in terms of what you really should be rooting for that last year was much clearer, and it liberates you to just enjoy the nights when they come. You know, when a night
that's
like that
said.
Unfolds, you just enjoy that. The night like that unfolding because it's all so murky.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I am actually updating. I've been trying to update. My editors are going to kill me, except that they're understanding that I don't even sleep. I work from the moment I wake up until 3 or 4 a.m. every day doing a million jobs, but I'm supposed to have a mock draft updated like 4 days ago, and every day they're like, GP, how's it coming? And I'm like, I'm doing the best I can. Like, I cannot keep up. But I have updated like the lottery, and I have the Grizzlies picking sixth, and I have them taking Darius Garland, who's coming off a knee surgery.
I love
Can you stomach
I love that pick. I love that pick, actually, because it fits all your needs. It's someone we haven't seen play. And so we can dream as big as we want, right? Like, Romeo Langford, let's be honest, I can't dream that big. I've seen him.
Our history with guards from Vanderbilt sucks so far.
Whereas Darius Garland, he played three games, averaged 19 points a game, and then he was gone. Like, right. I can get behind that.
Except,
I actually think it makes a lot of sense. He's a little small, right? He's small and hurt, and he's from Vanderbilt. But he can make shots, and I don't hate it. I actually don't hate it.
Here's the thing. First off, I love him. I saw him for the first time at Peach Jam when he was like playing 16 and under. So the way Peach Jam works, they have morning session of 17 and under games, and then in the middle of the day, when like most of the coaches and media go to lunch, the 16 and unders play, and then the 17 and unders come back and play at night. And usually, I, like most of the people, get out of the gym, you know, for lunch, midday. We go eat, you know, do whatever we're going to do, get some work done. But I happen to be in a conversation in a gym with Jeff Capel, who's now the head coach at Pitt, but he was an assistant at Duke at one point. And we were just talking, and I was just sort of watching the game in front of me. Like, I have no roster. I have no concept of who's playing in front of me. And so I'm talking to Jeff, and I'm just sort of watching the game. And this kid, he's a little bitty, but he's blowing by everybody, making every shot, making every pass. And finally, at some point, I'm like, yo, who is that? And Capel's like, Darius Garland. I'm like, where is he from? He's like, you don't know where he's from? I was like, I never heard of this kid. Because I don't follow the young recruits anymore the way I used to, because it's unnecessary to my job. And he's like, he's from Nashville. It was maybe just after his freshman year of high school. I was like, I don't know Darius Garland. I was like, you guys recruiting him at Duke? He's like, we will. And they did, but he ended up staying home at Vanderbilt. But I've seen him since he was that young, and I loved him from the first time I ever saw him. And then he goes to Vandy, and he was shooting basically 50% from three-point range, taking 5 3-pointers per game, and then, boom, he got hurt, meniscus surgery. So from a talent perspective, I love it. You need a point guard of the future. With all due respect, it ain't Javon Carter. And there's a chance Mike Conley gets moved this offseason. So, you know, I think starting to build around a Darius Garland and a Jaren Jackson Jr., I can get behind that. But my question is this. He's coming off knee surgery. I mean, you don't have the best history with this kind of stuff.
It's meniscus, though.
It is, yeah, it's just a meniscus. Again, it wouldn't stop me. I've got him going six, but I could just see the fans going, did we really just draft a dude coming off knee surgery?
Right, from Vanderbilt. A guard from Vanderbilt who's coming off knee surgery. No, I don't think that's a problem, honestly. And here's actually, to me, what it points out. It's the other advantage of not slipping down to eighth. In other words, apart from whether you jump up to get Zion, I don't think Darius Garland's going to be there at eight. Like, if you stay at eight, you're not going to be there. If you're at six, I think you might be able to get Darius Garland, right? But I think we're sort of imagining that after the first two or three players, they're all the same. And I get that there is a drop-off, but they're not all the same. They're just not. Like five, it does not go in a straight line, but at five, you have choices who aren't going to be available at six, or aren't going to be available at seven, or aren't going to be available at eight. And so I think there's a very good chance. I mean, we've seen this before. They ended up picking what's his name from Kansas the year that they wanted Paul George. The former Memphis Xavier Henry. Well, so they wanted Xavier Henry, and they wanted Paul George, and they're not all the same. Like and Xavier Henry went like two or three picks behind him, and so they didn't get lucky that year. So this idea that once you're down to four or five, they're not all the same. Darius Garland might be there at six, but I don't think he's going to be there at eight. And he's actually the guy. I don't see him as much as you do, and I didn't see him much at all. But just from the profile, he came out lights out, and then he got hurt. And I was joked about. Of course, you can dream. We've seen the warts on the other guys. That's part of the problem. We haven't seen this guy's warts. Except for the fact that he's got a bad knee. But I like the idea a lot.
In the mock draft that I'm updating, I've got it going Zion Williamson 1, RJ Barrett 2, Ja Morant 3, DeAndre Hunter 4, Cam Reddish 5, Darius Garland 6, Nasir Little 7, and the 8th pick, if that's where the Grizzlies get stuck in this awful position, I do have it as Jarrett Culver. 9, Romeo Langford, 10, Rui Hachimura. And to your point about, and this happens with every draft, we draw a line of where we think the drop-off is. And last year, it was probably after 4 or 5, depending on what you thought of Trae Young. I actually thought the line was at 5. The Grizzlies thought it was at 4. The Grizzlies thought the top tier was DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley, and Jaren Jackson Jr. And I would have put, because I did.
You might have had 4, not a Jaren in there.
I would have had 4. Well, I would have drawn the line. Yeah, no, you're right. I'd have probably drawn the line at 4 and not had Jaren in there. I'd have had Trae Young in there, not Jaren. But if you wanted to draw the line at 5 and say it's Jaren, Marvin, DeAndre, Luka, and Trae, that's fine as well. I might have, and I probably would have been wrong on this one, but I might have thrown Mo Bamba in there as well. So either way, we all come up with where our lines are. This year, it looks like the line is at 1. It's Zion, then Gap. Then most people think it's R.J. Barrett, Ja Morant, Gap. I think it's R.J. Barrett, Ja Morant, DeAndre Hunter, then a new line, and then what? And then the perception is everything after that is kind of like whatever, they're the same. But it never ends up being that way. You never look at the picks that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and they're all just the same. They're not. For instance, I promise you, and I don't really remember it, but in 2012, it was quite clear Anthony Davis had to be the number one pick in the draft. Nobody would have suggested otherwise. After that, it was a bit of debate. But at some point, somebody thought Deion Waiters needed to be ahead of Damian Lillard. And somebody thought Thomas Robinson needed to be ahead of Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard went 6th in that draft. And I promise you, if the Grizzlies pick where they're projected to pick right now, which is 6th, somebody available to them will go on to be an all-star. I don't know who it is. It might be Jarrett Culver. It might be Brandon Clark. I don't know who it is, but that guy's going to be available at six. And I think that's sometimes important to remember when you start thinking, if we're not in the top three, what's the point? Somebody available to you at six will turn into something special. You just got to get the guy. You got to figure out who it is, and right. You know, probably get lucky.
Yeah, and that's the advantage of staying at six as opposed to sliding. You're just going to have more choices. You are going to have more choices available to you, and they're not. It doesn't mean they're going to make the right choice. They'll make the wrong choice all the time. But I'd rather have more choices available to me than fewer, particularly in this draft.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Let's wrap it back to last night. Mike Conley goes for 40. What I was seeing on Twitter. In real time was like, Mike Conley scored 19 points in the fourth quarter. That actually shortchanges it a little bit. It was 19 points in the final, like 7:43. He gets the four-point play. I'm not real familiar with my swimming terms, but it looked like maybe a breaststroke through the lane.
Right, breaststroke.
And I do
the
think in this,
jump on the land on the breaststroke. Right, yeah.
And in this season, and I talked about this earlier, that has had so few good moments, I really do think that was a genuinely nice night, good moment that people will remember in this otherwise totally forgettable season. 3 years from now, 8 years from now, if you were in that building, you'll remember the night Mike Conley went for 40, won't you?
Yes, no question. It was the night Mike Conley went for 40. And the night that he went swimming and he changed his hair and it was fun. And Mike, it was just fun. It was just fun. And that's it doesn't mean anything, really, in the larger scheme of things. And the other thing is, I really think that everybody, I said this on my show, there were some people who were sick of Mark at the end, right? There were. I disagreed with them, but there were some, right? And honestly, there were some people who were sick of Tony at the end. I the same thing. I never got sick of Tony. But no one, like, I don't think anyone's. Mike is, he's so low maintenance. He's such a good guy. And the truth of the matter is he's the only time he gets really criticized is at the beginning, like he got criticized, A, when he was drafted for a few years, right? Then B, when he signed that first contract, which turned out to be an incredible bargain, and then B, when he signed the second contract. But the fact is that right now, you could trade him, and if you traded him, it's not like trading Chandler or trading even Mark, where you had to take like all the stuff back that's not necessarily great stuff. You can trade, as big as his contract is, it's not a burden to move. There are people who want him and will give you good things. Like that contract was clearly smart because right now you could deal him and you could get a one back. You could have gotten a one back from Utah very clearly. You can get players. You can get the fact that that contract, as massive as it is still a commodity, shows that in fact it wasn't a bargain. You can't call that a bargain by any stretch, but it was not a bad contract. It was not a millstone or a burden or anything else. Mike has done everything he possibly could do for this franchise.
And not only was his contract not a bad one, it ends up being one of the only not bad ones from that entire summer because that's the year the spike capped and everybody was just throwing money at anybody who was available, and most of those contracts turned into bad contracts, and yet Mike Conley's just didn't, at least as of this moment. So let me ask you this before I let you go. I was actually fine with the Grizzlies, you know, waking up day after the trade deadline and Mike's still on the roster. We talked about this at the time. I understood the reason to shop him, and if something's too good to pass up, then pull the trigger. But I don't mind Mike Conley being a part of this franchise. And so the prevailing thought is that they will put him on the market again this summer and try to move him again. And if they do it, I'll understand why. But I also don't have a real problem with Mike Conley being a part of this rebuild. Like, I don't think the worst thing in the world is having a popular professional veteran around the young pieces that you hope can get you out of this mess. Are you convinced that they have to move him, or can they bring him back next year and let him continue to be the face of this franchise?
I don't think they have to. I think they will see what's out there. I think it depends on a few things. One is, what's their draft pick, right? If you get Zion, let's just say you do get Zion. You've got Zion and Jaren Jackson. I think you can make an argument, you know what? Let's keep Mike. Let's keep Mike to run this ship while we have these two stars, right? We got our stars. We don't need to go more lottery tickets. We got two right here. And so that would be one thing. Secondly, what does Mike want? You know, not that that matters. That's not the only thing that matters. But if Mike says, listen, I just don't want to do this anymore. Get me to Utah. Get me to a contender. I think that matters to some extent if you can get value. And then the third thing, of course, is what's the value. But I don't think, no. There is very clearly, there's no necessity to move him. And I think that's the calculus they made. They weren't so desperate to move him that they were just going to take anything. And I think they'll be in that same position this summer.
That makes sense to me. That's Jeff Calkins. He'll be back in studio tomorrow at 9 a.m. Thank you, sir.
See you, man.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Jeff Calkins. He'll be back 9 a.m. When we come back, interesting Tiger basketball schedule news from earlier today. If you haven't heard about it, I'll walk you through it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go fast like a Lambo.
Some interesting University of Memphis men's basketball schedule news from earlier today. The university announced that the Tigers are going to play next November 12th in the Moda Center in Portland in the something called the Phil Knight Invitational. It's basically piggybacking off of the PK80, which was a massive event held, I believe, a couple of years ago. They're not going to do something like that again, at least not right now, but it is going to be a two-game, four-team event scheduled for November 12th. One game will be Memphis against Oregon with obvious big Nike ties. And the other one will be Oklahoma against Oregon State. And these games, again, will be played in Portland. And so it makes a lot of sense on a very basic level. This is all Nike-related. It's to celebrate, partly celebrate Phil Knight. It's the Phil Knight Invitational. And what college basketball coach in the country has a bigger, more prominent, established relationship with Nike than Penny Hardaway?
Right.
Like, I think the answer might be zero.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there are other coaches with incredible Nike ties, Mike Krzyzewski, John Calipari, but they ain't got their own signature sheet,
right.
You know? That's a Penny thing that goes back decades. And so it's just another example of Memphis willing to challenge itself in the non-conference portion of the schedule to put itself on the biggest stages you can put itself on in the non-conference portion of the schedule. And Penny has made it clear over and over again that he is not going to shy away from that, for better or worse. He wants to challenge himself, make sure his players are competing against the best, make sure he's coaching against the best. And obviously, a game against Oregon qualifies as a real challenge. Not just a game against Oregon, but this is a game against Oregon in Portland, Oregon. And there'll be some interesting player connections as well, because Chandler Lawson has committed to play at Oregon next season.
That's right.
So it'll be Chandler Lawson against a lot of his former, Team Penny and East High teammates. And then also, you might remember C.J. Walker, the kid from Orlando that Memphis was recruiting. And it sounded like Memphis was in there pretty good, but then never actually got an official visit. He's a top 35 kid, class of 2019. He eliminated Memphis fairly early on. If you remember, I was at Peach Jam, and he was awesome. Sitting with Penny and Mike Miller and Tony Madlock and the staff during this game where C.J. Walker was awesome. And it was that night that Penny got on the phone with his grassroots coach, and they spent like an hour on the phone. And, you know, this grassroots coach was sort of enamored with the idea of Penny Hardaway because, again, we're talking about people from Orlando. And Penny's obviously best years in the NBA happened when he was in Orlando. So there was a lot of stuff in play there, and it looked like Memphis had a real shot at him, but he eliminated Memphis pretty early in the process, post-summer, and ended up signing, or at least committing, to Oregon. He did that back in November. So when Memphis does play Oregon November 12th next season in the Moda Center, there will be two players in Oregon's rotation, perhaps in Oregon's starting lineup, that could have very easily been Tigers. They'll at least be guys that the Memphis staff is very familiar with. One Chandler Lawson, one C.J. Walker. So that's another interesting non-conference matchup on a non-conference schedule that is pretty interesting already, and I'm sure they'll add to it. Again, the news from today, Memphis announced Memphis and Oregon going to play in the Phil Knight Invitational November 12th in Portland, Oregon next season. Be back with Dinner to Go.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So there's a guy named Bill, lived out in Cairoville, had a house out there and wanted to sell it. So he did what I've been telling you to do for years. He got in touch with Josh Heisel, and they agreed on a price. Then Josh went to work. He got 8 showings on the first day, and that home sold for the full asking price. So how does Josh do it? He does it with his 45-day guarantee plan. Josh is an experienced and effective agent who can expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy, and then he can negotiate for the most money possible. He's got a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. The first step is Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree on a price, Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick, totally up to you, and it's a risk-free proposition working with Josh. It does not obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him. No questions asked. There's flexible fees, no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, use the only real estate agent I would use if I wanted to sell my home. It's Josh Heisel, 461-8147, 461-8147. He's on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah, off top, get guap. The hood got heavy metal like Slipknot. I hustle for my chain like a pit stop. I used to want to grip grain to my
Cooper Systems
stop.
Is your spot over the Mount Moriah Office Park. On the web, coopersystems.com. If you need a new computer, refurbished computer, custom-built computer, high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, desktop, tablet, it doesn't matter. Whatever you need, you can get it at Cooper Systems. They either got it, or they can get it for you, or they can build it for you. But also, don't ever forget, if you have computer issues, they're your destination. They can handle virus removal, data recovery. You got some sort of power supply issue, they can fix that for you. You've got a USB port issue, they can handle that for you. If you cracked your screen, for however people crack screens, your computer's not done. They can fix that cracked screen. So get in touch with them. 360-9679. Cooper Systems has been there for a long, long time. They've been a part of this show from the very beginning. They've been taking care of, yeah, just people in general, but listeners of the Gary Parrish Show year after year after year after year. And trust me when I tell you, they'll take care of you. If they couldn't, they wouldn't be in business all these years later. Like I told them a long time ago, Lee and Lauren both, I can get people to call you, and I can get people to come see you, but then ultimately you got to deliver on what it is you say you can deliver. Because I can't get people to go back twice if you don't. But I got people I know who've been back 7 times, 8 times, 9 times. So if you need a computer or you need computer repair, you know where to go. Cooper Systems, 360-9679. They're on the web, coopersystems.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Whole bunch of stuff, but we mostly focus on the Memphis Grizzlies because it ain't been a fun year. But last night was a fun night inside FedEx Forum. Not only did they get a win, it was a win after trailing by 16 points in the first quarter, trailing by 9 points in the fourth quarter. Mike Conley got 19 points in the final 8 minutes, finished with a career-high 40 in his 12th NBA season, a career-high 40 at the age of 31. And whether you were looking at the faces of the players or the faces on the fans, it was a rare, joyful night inside that building in downtown Memphis. I had talked to Matt Moore from the Action Network yesterday, and I asked him, among other things, like, how bad is it going to get for the Grizzlies, and how long is it going to stay that way? And he was like, I can't be optimistic. Like, it's going to be bad, and it's going to be a while. And I think that's true. Nothing that happened inside that building last night changes my opinion to that, and I'm sure it wouldn't Matt's either. But last night was a reminder, you can still have fun nights in bad times. And I guess that's just life in general, right? Maybe you're having a bad 6-month period, but it's still possible to have one good night laughing with your buddies, I guess.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of that. It's going to be a rough year. It's been a rough year.
Yeah.
But last night was the opposite of rough. Last night was fun. Looked like it was going to be rough at the beginning, but kept playing. Mike got going. You know, it's 0 points in the first quarter. So that means he got 40 in the final three. Just an incredible night, and I really do think that it's the type of game in a season with too few positive memories. It's the type of game people will remember for a while. Like, when you're talking about 82-game schedules, this stuff can start to blend together. Remember that night when the Grizzlies, I don't know, maybe, right? Remember the night Mike Conley got 40?
Yep.
Remember the night Mike Conley got 19 in the final 8 minutes? Oh, yeah, I remember that night. Yeah. It was one of the memorable Grizzlies games that we've had in a while, perhaps ever. And so shouts to Mike Conley, shouts to the Grizz, and let's keep trying to chase that thing up the standings as opposed to down the standings. Got the sixth from the bottom right now. I think the most reasonable place they can point to is eighth from the bottom. And eighth from the bottom would give you about a 40% chance to convey the pick to Boston, still give you about a 6% chance to get the number one pick and select Zion Williamson. So if you're looking for somewhere to aim, aim there. I wish him luck.
That's what she said.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Nuggets, Lakers, Staples Center, downtown Los Angeles. Denver's 42-31. Lakers are struggling, 30-34. It's still possible for LeBron to get to the playoffs, but it's not probable. It's like less than 2% chance to get there. So this is probably nothing more than another step in the wrong direction where LeBron afterward has to answer questions about what's gone wrong. But it is also an opportunity for LeBron to make history. He can pass Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes down. It could be awkward. Like, you're going to celebrate this massive achievement, but celebrate it in a season, in a bad stretch, in the worst season you've had in a long, long time. He hasn't missed the playoffs since 2005. He's about to do it in 2019. Either way, if you want to watch it all, tips scheduled for 9:30 Central. It's going to be on ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
Well, we have a one-hour episode of Inside College Basketball starting in a few minutes at 6 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. And then I'll be in studio all night. We're going to recap the night with another episode of Inside College Basketball starting around 11 Central tonight.
Oh, man, late night for you, GP.
Dude.
Let's have another TV show.
I'm dying.
I bet. Ugh.
I want to die.
It's usually about this time every year, because we've been doing this long enough that those are the words about March 6th. That's about when.
Well, the problem with a night like tonight, not to, again, I need to preface everything by my life is amazing.
First world problems. Gotcha.
My life is amazing. Yeah. I'm luckier than basically everybody.
You're a lucky man.
But even when you're lucky, it don't mean you don't need sleep.
Yeah.
And the problem with like nights like tonight is we won't get out of studio until like 2 a.m. And then I've got work to do. You know, I've got to update the top 25 and one. So that's like, I'll probably fall asleep around 4. And then I got a wake-up call like 8 to fly home and then go straight to radio studio and do the Gary Parrish show tomorrow. So this ain't the time of year to catch up on sleep. Hell, it's not even the time of year to sleep properly. But if you want to see a tired-looking me on television late tonight, about 11 o'clock Central or as soon as Fresno State, San Diego State goes final. If you're into the late-night circuit, David Gray's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel. Metro Boomin's on Jimmy Fallon. John Goodman's going to be on Seth Meyers, and the Jonas Brothers are on James Corden.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, how the judge, Judge Kaplan in Lower Manhattan, showed leniency when sentencing Merle Coe, Jim Gatto, and Christian Dawkins, the three men who were found guilty of federal crimes for their role in the college basketball scandal that was investigated by the FBI. He sentenced Gatto to 9 months. Dawkins and Coe to 6 months each. That was way below the sentencing guidelines. And so Dan Wetzel was in the courtroom yesterday. He didn't file his column until last night, so we didn't have a chance to talk about it yesterday. But if you haven't seen that column yet, it'll give you some insight into what Judge Kaplan was doing and what's next with this college basketball scandal. You can find that Yahoo Sports.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be Thursday. I'll be back in studio in Memphis, hopefully. John Martin will join me in the first hour, and then, of course, Jeff Calkins in the second. So it should be fun. It might be fun.
It might be fun for us.
We'll see. I don't want to overpromise.
Make that connection for me, okay?
I don't want to overpromise.
Make that connection in ATL or wherever you're coming through.
No, baby, I'm coming straight home.
Oh, good. Direct. I like it. Oh.
LaGuardia to Memphis.
We're good, baby. Let's do it.
Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. We're going to be back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.